to the ceiling.
Seven, The Voice and brand new music from Death of Samantha. Conviction's a song that we heard, and right now, all the way on the phone from Cleveland, Ohio, I've got the leader of Death of Samantha, John Pekovich. John, how are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, Mike? How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, congratulations on the new album, If Memory Serves Us Well. That is an awesome album.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Now, if I understand correctly, the material's been around for a while, but this was recently recorded, like, all in one sitting. Now, are these tracks that have ever been recorded before, or all brand new recordings?
They've been recorded before, but what we did is when we went in the studio, well, we didn't go into the studio, we actually were just practicing, and we were in a studio, and we started, we just figured we'd start recording, and because the guy was there, and he goes, hey, I can start recording, I thought was really cool about it, and that people record live albums, and and they think, oh, getting the band in this live setting and kind of the real band and all that stuff. But oftentimes, you think about it, is half the time people are performing, they're looking at an audience half the time, anyways, right? And
yeah.
They're like, or they're totally hammered, or they just have nothing, something else is going on. So I thought, actually, a practice is probably the most natural setting for a band, because that's where you're getting the most kind of interaction between the musicians. This guy's recorded it, and we actually never had any plans to put it out. But then we heard it, and we goes, man, this is like better than the band ever sounded,
Yeah.
And while still sloppy, I mean, it's better than any recordings. But we didn't actually, there's almost no thought. You were just kind of going off what everyone else was doing. And there was a kind of a purity to it, to the whole thing, that I really liked.
Yeah, it sounds very pure and very immediate, like of the moment. I really like that. Now, who's the personnel in the band Death of Samantha?
Well, there's the drummer is named Steve-O. he's the guy with one name. I mean, he's presumptuous enough to think that he could go through life with only one name.
Awesome.
You're like Madonna or Pele, you know, or right. Eminem and Steve-O. And then he's the drummer. And then the guitar player is named Doug Gillard, and the bass player is named Dave James. And it's the original lineup of the band. We hadn't put out a record in like 24 years. So
wow.
This is just a real, real different thing, because it wasn't even a reunion. It kind of happened by chance.
Yeah, what inspired you guys to kind of get back together after all these years?
Nothing. I happened to be walking down the street. It sounds crazy, but it's true. I was like, I hadn't seen the bass player probably like, man, I hadn't seen him for like 10 years. And I was walking down the street going for a pack of cigarettes, because I was like, oh man, where's this gas station that I go to? I don't really, not like I smoke that much, but I needed to have a cigarette. So I was walking down the street and I see this guy smoking. I was like, well, I might as well just bum a cigarette off this guy, you know? and the guy saw the background, but then he turned around and it was the bass player.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I hadn't seen the guy for probably like 12 years or something, you know? And the weird thing, the guitar player lives in New York, and I had seen him 3 days before that. You know, and I was like, man, it's weird. I was like, he goes, oh, what have you been doing? I've been walking out and getting cigarettes. You know, we just started talking about music, because things about this band is we formed at a very early age, and we were all like, the youngest was 15 years old.
Wow.
We formed basically in a high school band, you know?
Oh, wow.
And the thing is that I found interesting about it is that everyone is still really into music, you know? You know, people that start doing something at the age of 15 and 16 and 17, usually they move on, they have other interests, because those are your very formative stages, and you kind of develop. Well, we never developed as people. We stayed pretty much the same. And the guitar player was in town 3 days beforehand, and he was like, hey, man, we should get together sometime or, you know, trade tapes or do something like that. You know, and then the drummer, I'd seen him maybe about 2 weeks earlier. And I mean, I see him occasionally, not that much, but I do see him occasionally out just in bars and stuff. And he'd always been wanting to play. And I was like, we just all started, like, kind of going around via email. I was like, hey, man, would you guys want to, like, when are you going to be around? Or when can we do this? And we had people asking us to get together to do shows. So it really just came together, like, hey, man, you know, we got a bunch of people. And we had agreed to do our first show without ever practicing. It's not like we knew that, oh, we're going to, you know, this is going to be great. And, you know, we were sitting in the basement waiting. We just, this club had asked us for a long time. I was like, hey, man, why don't we just do it? It might be kind of fun.
Wow.
You know, whether if maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, you know.
Interesting.
So we ended up doing the show, and it did really well. So we recorded this record, you know, just like the night before this show that we did.
So this record is really just raw and immediate, because you didn't even rehearse for this, let alone the gig. This was your rehearsal.
We rehearsed. The guitar player came in town 3 days before the show, so we rehearsed two times before that where this record was done. And I hadn't practiced in like 24 years.
Wow. It sounds like you guys clicked right away.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, it's kind of funny. It's almost like, I always think that people think that if you learn how to play with one another by, you know, you got to play. I just think it's a frame of mind and everything, you know. I think if you're welcoming, and if you kind of greet a free flow of information, you know, if you kind of take your ego out of everything, you kind of like, if you're almost like liberated because you're not selfish, you're liberated in a way to do interesting things within a group, you know? Because I think oftentimes they think people that get ahead are the people that have the ego and the strong mind, you know, the people that they want theirs, they're the takers. And while that might be true in a maybe a material way, intellectually or artistically, I don't think that works that way. You know, I think you have to be, you almost have to be like, whittle your own personal, like, your sense of self down to almost nothing, so that you can kind of see yourself as part of a group. And that's why I think psychologically, I think we did a good record, because I think psychologically we're in an interesting place that people usually aren't in bands, you know, and we weren't in ever before that either, you know, so.
Yeah, and you know, you sound like an ensemble. I mean, it's just stunning to me to find out that you guys just really reunited really recently and put this together, because you just sound like you're communicating with one another really, really well, musically speaking.
Funny, the bass player says, but the bass player goes, oh, you know, I, on one hand, I don't know if it's really cool or it's kind of sad and depressing that I look around and see you guys and think you guys haven't developed at all or matured since then. You know? So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just very sad and depressing. And it's like we call it arrested development. You know? You never know. Maybe what you see as clicking is actually like a sad state of affairs.
That's hilarious. But I know what you mean. I mean, the chemistry is still there, and I think that's what carries the day. I'm chatting with John Pekovich of Death of Samantha. Can you tell us a little bit about your infamous 1983 live debut at the Ground Round Restaurant in Cleveland?
there's a national chain of restaurants. It's called the Ground Round, and I used to work as a janitor there. You know, and it was, you know, people say, oh, you know, man, it was one of these places where you could throw all this popcorn and peanuts. I mean, it was all over America. They had this place.
Yeah.
This chain of restaurants, and what the people do, they throw their peanuts and popcorn on the ground, and they go, oh my God, that's the worst. Who wants to be a janitor at a place like that? They think, wouldn't you rather be a janitor at some, like, you know, some other place, like, you know, some classy joint like
right.
Wendy's? And I was like, and I was like, so, you know, but the thing is that the key to, like, sweeping up peanuts and popcorn in a restaurant like that is that a lot of people lose their money. You know, they drop, like, and it's like, and I got better tips than the servers. I got, like, it's like you get, some people get hammered, and they're like, oh my God, look, there's another $20 bill. Oh, $5, $10. And it's just like some guy just got hammered and dropped it and is buried amid all this popcorn and peanuts, you know?
Oh, my.
So it was a pretty good job. I mean, I wasn't ever going to, I wasn't really planning on making a career out of it, because after a while, I was like, you know, it's like, it's kind of like you get tired of, like, the whole sweeping thing, you know? You get, like, you get carpal tunnel from the working that broom, you know?
Right.
So anyways, I had been fired from this place. I was really good at being a janitor. For whatever reason, I was good at sweeping the floor. And I'd been fired from this place like three other times.
Oh.
And they kept calling me back, you know, because I think they thought, like everyone else, they'd get some guy. One guy I brought in, a friend of mine, he worked there, and he was this punk rock guy who was like, had dyed his hair. And he refused to go outside when it was raining because he was afraid his hair dye would start running down.
Right.
And this other guy was so stoned all the time. You know, he'd be smoking weed on the roof. So I was kind of reliable, even though I was kind of, you know, like a, you know, not kind of a loser in a way. I mean, I'm not because of the job. I just like to play music, and that's all I cared about.
Right.
But as I worked at this restaurant, and they were like, hey, man, so the main manager, he went on vacation, and as he was going on vacation, he was joking, he goes, hey, so when's your band going to play here? Are you guys going to be playing here? And the assistant manager was this most humorless guy you'll ever find. He had no sense of humor at all.
Uh-oh.
So when he heard the real manager say this, he thought that the guy was serious. And I said, yeah, well, oh yeah, well, we're playing next week. And this assistant manager goes, hey, so what is this about your show? I go, oh yeah, well, we got the show, and it was on chicken wing night. And the thing is, they used to be a place, it was one of those places where they'd have a guy strumming an acoustic guitar, singing, you know, like, keep me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old. You know that song, the Neil Young
song? Oh, yeah,
song?
Yeah.
They'd be playing it all the time at that place. Those are the kind of songs they play, you know? And
gotcha.
But we were just like this, this band started as kind of a joke. We didn't, I was like, hey, man, I was like, so these friends of mine, I go, hey, so I got this job where this guy thinks that we're actually, I have a band that's going to be playing. But we didn't really have a band, and we were like, hey, we should do this. It'd be pretty fun. And it was like, and we just, like, went in there. It was just terrible. It was noisy. Like, I mean, it was terrible in the, for those, that crowd. I mean, actually, like, some of the you know, friends of ours that like punk rock and stuff, they liked it, you know, and noisy music and stuff. But for the crowd there, they were like, oh my God, people were so mad. These guys, they were throwing popcorn. They had only popcorn machines. They were throwing popcorn around. These basket popcorn and chicken wings. It was chicken wing night. You know, so they throwing these chicken wings or stuff. It was a disaster. Everyone left.
Oh.
You know, so I got fired from that job. But the funny thing is, this band, we had no name. We never even had a name. And we were like, so like the night before, we go, man, they had this marquee where they put like 99-cent fry night, french fries or something like that. You know, like whatever, onion O-rings for $2 for $6. So we had this band, and let's come up with some really, like, just, like, you know, name of some band that would look funny on that marquee. So we came up with this band, Death of Samantha, which is named after a Yoko Ono song.
Oh,
we happened to like Yoko Ono, yeah. And we were really into, like, kind of like, oh, into like, experimental kind of music and all sorts of stuff. So, like, okay, let's go with that. Yeah, it'd be a good name, because we could put that on that marquee, and people would be driving down the street going, oh, my God, what is going on here? Death of Samantha. This is so terrible. So, like, a restaurant, a family restaurant that has a sign up there. So then we did that, and then I got fired. I got thrown out for the fourth time, and the last time they said, don't ever come back, you know?
Oh.
But the thing is, as funny as we had, all these people were like, they were asking about this show. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like Stravinsky. I don't know if you ever heard when Stravinsky played, Rite of Spring, there was a riot in Paris, right? It wasn't like that, you know?
Right.
But there was a bit of notoriety attached to it. So I go, man, we had all these people. Goes, hey, when do you guys play next? When do you guys play next? I go, well, you know, one problem. We really don't have any songs. You know? Yeah, so people love to hear the band because they just like, oh my God, this band played a family restaurant, and they end up getting, you know, thrown out. The guy got fired, you know, and it was like this band sounds really crazy. I mean, if you heard what all the other people were playing, even an electric guitar would have sounded crazy, but we were just like playing a bunch of noise up there. So it turned out it was a fun show. It was probably one of my funnest shows ever. Even at the time, I was kind of scared because Phil throwing these chicken wings out at me. So.
No, that's memorable and notorious at the same time. So then you guys said, hey, I guess we really are a band then.
Well, yeah, people started asking us to do shows, and we're like, oh, hey, but this sounds like fun. I mean, if we got this kind of response, maybe these punk rock people will like us. You know, or something like that. Maybe they'll think we were but we weren't even a punk rock band. We were always kind of just did our own thing. It's funny because people always say, oh, I've seen in these record reviews that come out, people say icons, like Cleveland legendary icons or like 80s indie icons. And I go, icons? We were iconoclasts. You don't get it. We were not icons.
Nice turn of phrase. I'm chatting with John Pekovich of Death of Samantha. Why don't we take a quick break? John, let's play one of your songs. Do you have any suggestions?
Not really. You go ahead and play whatever you'd like to play.
Okay, well, I've got a few favorites here. Why don't we listen to Rosenberg Summer off of...
Okay, great. That's a great one. Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
Okay, Rosenberg Summer off of If Memory Serves Us Well.
Look at us, baby. We're just faithless under eyes. Do everlasting summer, did you kill the Rosenbergs? And did April really have to be so cruel?
88.7, The Voice and Death of Samantha and Rosenberg Summer off the brand new album If Memory Serves Us Well. I'm chatting with John Pekovich of the band. Now, here's a question. Are you guys officially back together now?
We ended up like a get back together, and we actually are going to be working on a new material, you know?
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, so we are going to, you know, but the thing is like, it's kind of like, we work on new material, and it's not really that, it's not like it really matters to me. Obviously the band matters, but I mean, it's not like, you know, it's like, if it's not fun, it's like, you know what, if you're going to enjoy something, and people think, some people think that if you say something, you're doing something for fun, that somehow that is shallow, or that is like, no, but actually enjoyment. If you do something because you enjoy it, that's really why you should do anything. Really, a painter shouldn't be painting it, you know. They should really love painting. I mean, you love music. Well, I love music, man. They're like, just like, we love playing, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I love to record.
Yeah, and I think if you guys are doing it for fun, I think that's the right reason. I think your fans and your audiences will pick up on that. I mean, it's obvious
totally
when a band is having
up.
Fun.
People totally would pick up on that.
Yeah, it's obvious to me when a band is having fun and that they're really enjoying themselves. I think that whole attitude just spreads.
No, without a doubt.
I'm here with John Pekovich of Death of Samantha. John, how can my listeners find out more about you and your music and perhaps purchase some of it?
There's deathofsamantha.com, which is the website. You know, and we have like, you know, and the records are available in, you know, every other kind of the usual places and stuff.
Sounds good. And last question. This is the big scandalous question I ask everybody. What's your favorite food?
Man, I love gummy bears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love gummy bears. I like that. And, you know, it's like I'm really into gummy bears a lot. And, you know, I take fries. I like fries and I like mustard. And ketchup coming out of those little thin squirters, you get thin little lines.
Yeah.
And I'll do like a Jackson Pollock on my fries.
Oh,
and I'll just
nice.
Like, sometimes it's pretty artistic there. Some people are like, oh my God, I don't want to eat this thing. And it's like, well, you know, you better, because I'm not going to be like bringing it out on a canvas. You know, but those are my two things I kind of dig.
So you're into color. I think that's what they have in common, colorful food.
Dude, I love color, man. I'm like one of those people that's like a, probably like a test marketer's, or a marketer's, a dream, or like, it was like all these colors just like that, you know, oh yeah, oh wow, a translucent blue food, I'll have some of that, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, John Pekovich, it's been a blast talking with you. Thank you so much, and thanks.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and good luck to you on the new album by Death of Samantha. The album's called If Memory Serves Us Well. Why don't we go out and hear one more track off of it?
Great. And good luck with the radio show, too.
Okay. Thanks so much, John.